Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This year marks the 150th anniversary of the birth of one of America's most beloved writers, Laura Ingalls Wilder. We have two looks at her life ahead on the program. Marta McDowell joins us live to talk about Laura's connection to the land a bit later. But first, the New York Times recently named Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder as one of the best books of the year. Author Carolyn Fraser fills gaps in Wilder's autobiographical writings, drawing on unpublished manuscripts, letters, diaries, and land and financial records. Fraser spoke with Prairie Public's Doug Hamilton from Iowa City on one of the stops on her book tour.
Well, I've been writing about Laura Ingalls Wilder for a long time, but I started probably where everybody else started, which is that I was a fan of the books as a kid and loved them and read them over and over again. And then a few years ago, somebody came out with a biography of Laura's daughter, Rose, that claimed that Rose was actually the real author of the books and that she had ghostwritten the books for her mother. And I was very curious about that and maybe a little bit skeptical, so I started looking into that and eventually became the editor of the Library of America Little House books. And as I was doing all that research, I just realized that there is so much history behind Wilder's life that makes it kind of a fascinating entry point to the history of homesteading and the settlement of the West. So I really wanted to explore that.
Well, did you determine who actually wrote the books definitively?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was it's a sort of a more complicated picture, but I don't think that Rose really ghost wrote the books. I think Laura is definitely the author of them, and we know that because she left manuscripts, handwritten manuscripts, in her hand of the books. And what happened was that Rose, who was herself a very well-known professional writer, would go over things with her mother. She edited the books, and in cases she did revise things. And I think the books probably would never have been published without Rose and her professional connections. But it was very much a kind of a collaboration between the two of them, and I think Laura was the author, and Rose was really the editor.
Well, Little House on the Prairie is certainly a title that many people are, acquainted with. And obviously there was a TV series a long time ago that exploited that literature as well. But as you write in the book, this is an interesting saga of homesteading in general. I mean, Laura Ingalls Wilder speaks about important history.
Yes, she does. And one of the interesting things, I think, about her series is that it leaves you with the impression that that homesteading, not that it was easy by any means, but that it could be done successfully and that it was a kind of national success in terms of small-scale farming. But when you look at the actual history in the Dakotas and elsewhere, it's a much more mixed picture, in part because, of course, many of these farmers who, like Laura and her family, came out into the Dakota Territory during the boom years, they thought that they were going to be able to farm very much as people had been farming, you know, back east and further east. And in fact, it was a very different picture in terms of the, you know, drought and aridity, and it was going to be much more difficult for them to achieve any kind of consistent returns. And that, in fact, is what happened to Laura, both in the Ingalls family and then when she married a farmer, Almanzo Wilder. They struggled continually because of drought, because of the very kind of inconsistent weather that they found. So It's a really fascinating look at farming history in that part of the world and how difficult it was for small farmers to ever make a success of it.
Carolyn Fraser is the author of Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Caroline, there's a map in the book that shows the sort of where Laura lived throughout her life, and she dots across from Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota to Kansas and just touching Missouri even. She was all over the place, and that suggested how, you know, the financial difficulties that the family ran into occasionally forced them to move.
Yes, they just found so many disasters wherever they went. It's really kind of remarkable. In Wisconsin, where Laura was born, if they had stayed there, it's entirely possible that that they might have been a little bit more successful there. But her father, Laura's father, Charles Ingalls, had sort of conflicting goals in a way. I mean, on the one hand, he wanted to be a hunter and a trapper, so he loved wilderness areas and was always looking for places where there were fewer people. But on the other hand, he also wanted to be a farmer and to raise wheat and to try to make money that way. So he wanted to live near a railroad. So he had, you know, kind of these conflicting goals, and he brought the family all over the place, as you say, around the Midwest and the Great Plains. And he just never quite found the perfect spot. I think they stopped in DeSmet largely because they just ran out of energy and ambition and money. But and of course, they never did the whole overland trail to the West Coast, which Charles Ingalls had really wanted to do. Laura, too. And eventually, Laura and her husband end up moving to the South, to Missouri, because they faced so many problems and essentially a kind of form of bankruptcy in Dakota Territory.
Well, I found out by reading the introduction to your book that Laura Ingalls Wilder didn't actually think to write a book until she was in her late 50s.
Yes, I mean, what happened was that I think she had been thinking about it for a very long time. Her daughter, Rose, became a journalist in San Francisco early in the, around 1910. And when Laura saw the kind of success that Rose was having, and Rose began really pressuring her mother to start writing too. So at that point, Laura really started to think about writing about her childhood, in part because she'd always told these stories to her daughter, and her daughter just loved them. So she starts thinking about it, and she actually did fairly early on begin writing a memoir. That early manuscript we has lost, and we don't have access to it. But then Laura starts writing for a newspaper, a farm newspaper called the Missouri Ruralist, and was a columnist for them for some years, and began writing in her column about her family, about her father and her sister Mary. So it really was an idea that had been percolating with her for a very long time, and it wasn't until she'd kind of retired from her many jobs on the farm that she had the time to actually sit down and try and write that book.
Well, she chronicles the homesteading across the Great Plains, and she worked very hard most of her life, literally physical labor in many cases. She saw things that she wrote about, like prairie fires and blizzards and the locusts. That one was an eye-opener, the hordes of locusts that would literally destroy everything in their path. Set the scene for our listeners about some of these travails she had to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, her childhood was just a kind of compendium of everything that the settlers faced on the frontier, because, as you say, she did experience virtually everything there was to be experienced on the frontier, including, you know, encounters with Indians and with wildlife, with wolves and blizzards and hailstorms and tornadoes and malaria. So she had all this experience to draw on when she came to write her books, which were very much based on her experience. But it was interesting because she wrote these books during the Depression and during the Dust Bowl, when she was actually in, she was living then in Missouri and experiencing, again, some of the things that had happened during her youth. Because, of course, the Dust Bowl was a time of extraordinary drought and terrible high temperatures in Missouri, and was not only, you know, a dust event where huge rollers of dust were blowing across the country, but it also sparked a lot of insect infestations and outbursts, including a grasshopper outburst. So while she's sitting at her desk writing about the locusts that plagued Minnesota in her youth, she's experiencing the same thing in the 1930s in Missouri. And that, I think, helped make the books so affecting, because I think she was kind of reliving emotionally the experiences that she went through as a child.
Well, she was born just a little after the end of the Civil War, amidst the Dakota War, essentially, the Native uprising that started in Minnesota and spread to Dakota Territory, and was knocked down by federal troops in a very persistent way, I guess. She lived through some very difficult financial times. She was a young girl when the 1873 Depression hit the country. She was a young woman when the 1893 panic hit. And then she starts writing in 1929 or so. So the financial cycles of her life were pretty startling as well.
Yes, and it's so interesting, given where we are now, to kind of look back at what she experienced and how her family's life was so strongly affected, and how they faced ruin so many times because of these economic cycles. The history of farming is really quite extraordinary in terms of how it was at the mercy of those economic cycles. And it's quite extraordinary that she then, later in life, becomes so conservative. She was very opposed strongly to the New Deal, which many rural farmers hated, because it actually asked them to take land out of production and even in some cases to destroy their livestock, because the government was desperately trying to create a situation where they could control commodity prices during the Depression. And it's fascinating to see how viscerally so many of these farmers reacted to those New Deal programs, which they felt were being imposed on them by the federal government. And she never gave up that opposition to government interference on the farm. She felt quite strongly about that. And it reflected in certain moments in her work.
Caroline Fraser is the author of Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Caroline, Laura Ingalls Wilder lived with at the same time as some other very famous authors, Willa Cather, Hamlin Garland, Frank Baum, the Wizard of Oz guy, Mark Twain, or Samuel Clemens, I guess his actual name. Was she a reader of their stuff?
You know, I wish we knew more about exactly what she read. She certainly loved Westerns and Zane Grey and adventure stories. She was a subscriber to this pulp magazine called Adventure Magazine, which is really fun to look at. I'm not sure whether she had read Twain, but one of the interesting things I have found in reading Willa Cather is that there's quite a bit of overlap in terms of what Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote and what Cather wrote. And I think somebody in that family must have read some Cather, probably Rose at least, and maybe Laura as well. But Cather actually wrote her, you know, Prairie cycle of novels much earlier than Wilder. And so it's interesting to see these certain images and phrases that crop up in both works.
Hmm. What was the relationship between Rose and her mother, Laura?
Well, the two of them had quite a tumultuous relationship. They were both very strong-willed women. And I think that their relationship was affected quite strongly by the tragedies of Rose's very early childhood. During the first 4 years of Laura's marriage to Almanzo, they experienced many tragedies, illness. Almanzo was actually disabled by a stroke very early on, and they lost their home to fire. And I think when Rose went through all these traumas with them, she became a person who really, I think, was really felt strongly about trying to control what happened in her life after that, and had a lot of struggles with her mother over that. So she's a interesting figure because she both encourages her mother to write the books, almost pushes her to do it, but they have a real battle over how the books will be written, over what to emphasize, and how to dramatize certain things.
Well, who do you think prevailed?
You know, I think you can see the influence of both of them. I think that in many ways, Laura's voice prevailed. She had a real a stoic sensibility, and she also wrote in a what you would call a plain style that is very direct and simple and beautifully descriptive at times, but is not melodramatic. And I think Rose was a more commercial writer, had a more sort of melodramatic voice, and which you certainly hear in Rose's own work, but you don't hear it in the Little House books. And so I think that that indicates that in many ways Laura's vision prevailed.
Let's talk about the family that she grew up with, her mother and father, Charles and Caroline, her sister Mary, who's well-remembered, I suppose, in the TV series as well. Talk about the relationships and how they are developed in the books.
the family, I think, was the most important thing in Wilder's life. I think that it was really her exile from her family when she and Almanzo and Rose had to move to Missouri to kind of reestablish their finances. She felt quite strongly the separation from her parents and her sisters, which inspired, I think, her need to write the books. But her early relationship with her family is so interesting because clearly, Laura took after her father in many ways. He was this sort of wonderful, charming raconteur who loved to tell stories and was very musical, played the fiddle. And Laura obviously had a lot of his characteristics, could be very, you know, impulsive and impetuous and kind of hot-tempered, and clearly identifies with her father, and that is so much a part of what makes the Little House book so moving as a kind of memorial to her father. But it also shows ways in which she kind of threw the game a little bit because she wanted to never admit that her father had made mistakes or had debts. For example, we know that Charles was often facing pretty serious financial difficulties, and that she never includes any of that stuff in the Little House books. Her mother, who I think she also was very close to, was probably, I think, a little bit more like her sister Mary. She was very, you know, patient and even pious, religious. And I think that the warmth of that family is what draws readers back to the books over and over again. You find, even though the family is constantly facing all these, you know, incredible disasters and difficulties, oddly enough, the books give you this sense of really warmth and comfort. And I think for many people, they just turn to them again and again as children and as adults because they crave that feeling.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton talking with Carolyn Fraser, the author of Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Well, she, during her childhood, experiences malaria in Kansas, scarlet fever, diphtheria, lots of medical issues. And I'm intrigued to find out that she becomes a school teacher at age 16.
Yes, and it was actually her sister Mary, according to the family recollections, who was sort of destined to be a teacher and was studying to be a teacher and was kind of the model student. And then, of course, Mary becomes blind as a result of an illness she suffered as a teenager, and so she can't then do that teaching, and so Laura has to adopt that role. And Laura was horrified, I think, at the challenge of having to do that because she never felt comfortable being in front of strangers and talking in front of crowds. So it was a real challenge for her to, as a teenager, suddenly find herself kind of forced into that role. But I think both, you can see this in the Little House books and in her memoir, she really rose to the occasion. And I think that helped establish some confidence for her and also a sense of, inspired a kind of sense of ambition. Yeah. And made her feel like, well, I can really do more than I thought I could.
Well, she marries at age 17 to Almanzo Wilder, and did I get this right? She asked the pastor not to ask her to obey her husband?
Yes, there was actually kind of a discussion going on in the Dakotas and in society as a whole at that point about that issue, and so she had obviously heard about this during discussions within her community and social groups, and actually asked the Reverend Brown not to ask her to obey her husband.
That's Doug Hamilton from Prairie Public in North Dakota. He's talking there with author Carolyn Fraser. Her book is called Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. The New York Times just named it one of the best nonfiction books of the year.